Beginning tonight, I want us to be thinking about choices. That seems to be the direction that God has led and has given concerning our time together this weekend. The choices that we will have to make and be confronted with making during our lifetime. How will you choose your God? How will you choose your goals? And then how will you choose that guy? And if you could begin thinking with me right now, some of you may need to just punch the person next to you. If you're like me, I think I may have had a little bit too much to eat, so you may be drowsy. But start thinking back. Whenever that alarm clock went off this morning, was it 5:30 or 6? Or if you're like me, did you sleep in a few minutes? What have been some of the choices that you've made today? Just speak up and yell them out. What have been some of the choices that you've had to make today?
To get up.
That's one. How many had to choose to get up? Wanted to sleep. What else? What? Okay.
Caught me up at the devil almost trying to talk me out, but when the Lord let me know I was supposed to come.
Okay, good. Probably if maybe some more of us were honest, that might be the case too, but to choose to be here. Back here, did I see a hand? What about, did you ever have that female choice this morning of what am I going to wear? Or putting something on and choosing to put something else on? What about if you'd eat that extra piece of bread tonight? Or what are some other choices? Did you have a choice about if you might cut a class today? Or was that even a choice? Or to put it off? Okay. Do you have a choice on if you'd stop along the way and get a Coke coming up here today? Or what else? What are some other choices? Can you think through your day real fast?
To go to class.
Okay, to go to class or not. It was Friday and it was nice. The thing I want you to begin thinking about is this. Life is full of choices. Apparently right now we're thinking about some of the simple choices that we make. And so the question that really we're looking at tonight and tomorrow morning is not the fact, will we be making choices? We will. But I want us to begin looking seriously at how will we intend, how will we purpose to make choices. Think back with me, Will, now if you can, and tell me what were some of the factors or what were some of the influences that helped you make some of those choices this morning? Why did you choose to get up? What influenced that?
Responsibility.
Roommates. Okay. People around you.
Stomach.
To eat or not to eat.
Grades.
Better go to this class or else. I better take notes or else. I think she said God helped her decide over the power of Satan to come. That's another thing we'll be looking at, especially tonight, or looking at the unbelievable amount and number of factors and influences that are playing upon our mind today to help us choose against what God would have us to choose. We're going to have a skit now, and I want you to listen closely to some of the choices that these people have made, and then we'll talk about it. So you watch and listen and see what are some of the choices that these people have made, and as a result of this, what have been some of the life consequences.
And tonight we present to you the skit, Heavenly Hotel.
Oh. Oh, my forehead is so good. Got my name?
Your name? What is your name, please?
You don't know my name?
No, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Time Wimbledon champ. I beat Chrissy 14 times.
Well, that's nice. I'm real happy for you.
Can you believe my backhand? My forehand is so good.
Your name, please.
I'll give you one more chance.
Ma'am, we're not here to make games, please. Your name.
Okay, Billie Jean Queen.
So good.
Billy, I don't seem to be able to find your name here. Could you please tell me why you think you have a reservation here?
Can you believe it? She asked me. 14 Wimbledon tournaments!
Well,
I'm sorry. There's a better hotel down there. There's another hotel down the road if you want to try that one.
This one's going back anyway.
I'm here for my reservation.
Okay, your name, please?
You mean you don't know who I am? I mean, I just own all the Hilton Inns. You don't know who I am?
No, ma'am. I'm sorry.
I'm a wealthy.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't seem to be able to find your name. Could you please, tell me why you think you might have a reservation here?
Well, I own everything in the world practically. I don't know why I shouldn't be in there. I mean.
Well, I'm sorry. I
guess I'll have to go buy me another hotel.
The
spirit
team, let's go! Woo!
Yeah! This is a winner.
Yes, get up. I'm here for my reservations. I need to get started too, so you kind of hurried up there. Team's waiting,
Could you please?
Long.
Could you tell me your name? Your name, please.
I'm sorry?
Your name.
My name? But haven't you ever watched any of the Dallas Cowboy football games? Oh. You never seen one in your life?
I'm sorry, we don't have TVs up here. We don't have TV up here.
No TV.
No. No football players either.
That's just ridiculous.
Well, would you tell me your name and I'll look for you anyway?
Patty Pom Pom.
Well, Patty, I don't be able to soon find your name here at all.
So you're not going to let me in?
Well, why do you think you need to have a reservation here?
But I only went out with a couple of the football players, not very many.
Well, there's another hotel down the road, way down the road. You might find some of them there.
Well, Roger Staubach never said no to me.
Yes, I would like to check in, please.
Your name, please?
I have been sitting over here for 20 minutes now. I now have through the E's memorized in my dictionary. Look, I would just like to get into a room.
If you're so smart, your name, please.
Oh, these lower class people. I tell you what, these peon minds. Surely you have my name there.
Well, if you could tell me your name, we'll look it up real quick.
Alberta Einstein. I'm sure it is there.
Alberta Einstein?
Of course, you must not be familiar with math and science and this sort of thing. Guess not. You don't look like the sort.
No, ma'am, I don't have your name here. Could you please tell me why you think you deserve a reservation here?
Aren't all of the best minds in this hotel? I'm sure they have a place for me.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but we don't.
Thank you.
Watch that gray line up! Right
there.
Oh.
Who? Sarah Miners?
We'll check. I'm sorry, but I can't find your name here. What makes you think you're going? What makes you think you're
Yes?
Why would I have you in here?
Hey, I'm an angel.
I think the angels are down the road a bit.
Do
reservations here?
No, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Well, I'll just try Devil's Den then.
Oh, boy.
Honey? Honey, I'd like to check in. I think I have a reservation.
Your name, please?
I'm sure it must be in there. I mean...
Your name, please.
My name? Don't you know who I am?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Well, I'm going to give cookies to all the little kitties in the neighborhood. And my coffee, I promise, is good to the last drop.
Well, that's real nice, you know. We'll have it for breakfast, but your name, please?
Mrs. Olson. Could you please hurry? I know what's in there. All the neighbors promised I'd be up in front. Might check back in the beginning. I'm sure I'm one of the first ones on the list.
Ma'am, I'm looking. I'm sorry. I don't see your name here. Could you please tell me why you think you might have a reservation here?
Well, like I told you, I give cookies to all the kids after school, and my coffee is good, and I took the best care of my kids, and my husband thinks I'm the best.
I'm sorry, ma'am. You might try the hotel down the road.
Well, I know it's there. You might better look again.
Okay. I'm sorry, but, no.
Well, maybe this isn't the place for me anyway.
I don't think so.
Hi. I'd like to see the big one.
Could I have your name, please?
He knows. Just tell him, Margaret.
Well, I'm his secretary, and I'm supposed to check, you know, through his reservations first before you can get to see him.
Well, you mean you don't know my name?
I'm sorry, I don't.
I'll give you a hint. It starts with a C. Christy
Christian.
Coffee? Christy Christian.
Christy Christian. Christy, I'm sorry, but I don't see your name here. Could you please, maybe you can...
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Steve Williams had dinner at my house.
I'm sorry, Steve Williams' name's not here either. Why you might think that, you know, I might have a reservation for you?
Well, you know, I memorized a verse once, and I've been to Bill Gothard, been through E.E. three times, didn't you? I know Gerald Spicer personally.
I'm sorry, I just don't seem to have your name here.
Polly used to be my Sunday school teacher. I've got to be in there.
You don't
understand how hard I've worked. I go to church every Sunday. I'm on college council.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. You know, I really hate to disappoint you like this, but your name's not on here. Maybe you better go memorize some more verses or something.
I just
John 3:16.
I just can't understand it. Don Spicer promised me I'd get it.
Hi.
Hi. Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Jill.
Jill? Yeah, we have your name right here. Could you tell us why you're getting into heaven?
Yes, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Oh, well, that's great. Just come right on here. You got an apartment.
While we're getting set back up, I'll let you pass out these sheets. Be thinking about what were the choices that they had made in terms of giving their life to?
You know how my clothes are? Huh? You know how my clothes are?
Well, no, I don't have a ring.
Okay. Get all wired up. Tell you what. You're going to be getting three separate sheets of paper, and before the night's over, we'll eventually be getting around to all of them. So if you can keep in touch with them, do so. Hey, Linda, I need my Bible. Is my Bible there? Okay, great. Okay, if you can think with me, what were some of the choices that you'd heard that people had made in terms of giving their lives to? Tennis? Competition? Men, beauty? There was Farrah Fawcett Miners coming in. She felt like she could get in. Had a relationship with God on beauty. What was this?
Money.
Money. I'm a Wealthy came in. Works. The church. By the way, I hope, and if I need to make some personal apologies or we need to deal with some things, in no way did I mean for this skit at all to be offensive in any way or to imply that football players or Little Miss Olsen was not going to be getting into heaven or people that had gone to church or Bill Gothard or knew certain people. But I did want you to begin to think, what were some of these implications? And we will not get into heaven in terms of a personal relationship with God necessarily through some of these things. So in no way did I mean to slander anyone or to leave someone out of heaven that will be in heaven, because the main thing is that, as Jill said, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What were some other things? Oh, that was just a hand raise. What else did you hear? What about the dictionary? School, brains, intellect. Memorized all the E's in the dictionary. What else? Anything else you can think of? Well, I hope that will begin you to thinking. And the intent of that skit was, what are people giving their lives to? What choices are they making? And in terms of that, how is that influencing? Do I need to stand back or something?
I'm just wondering if it's
good. Okay. How are the choices that we're making now influencing the type of life that we'll live and eventually the type of impact life-wise that we'll make? So you can be thinking about that tonight as we move through this time together. I want you to be thinking about choices. And I want to share with you some of the things that I think a choice is. Number one, a choice is a decision. A lot of times we want to breeze through life. We want to breeze through a time in which we're having to make a choice, not thinking I really have to come to grips with a decision. But a choice is a decision. It's an intent, whether an intent toward a certain type of attitude or a physical action. But it is an intent. Another thing, a choice is a selection. A lot of times we don't want to have to make a selection. We don't want to have to pinpoint one thing out of something else. And yet that's what a choice is. How many of you have ever had to select a dorm to live in, or perhaps an apartment? And you'd look and you'd look and you'd look, and finally it had to come down to a choice. A choice is a selection. Another important thing about a choice as we look at this weekend is that a choice sets a direction in which we'll take. Just as at one point in her life that person decided that I'm going to give my life to good works, that set the direction of her life. And the choices that we make will begin to set us in a direction that will take us for the rest of our life. Another thing about a choice is that really a choice reveals who we are. Choices are made, as we began to think the first part of this evening, by factors or influences that are all around us. And we'll be looking at a few minutes at this filter illustration to
to just see some of the multitude of influences that we have around us. Two more things that are really important. A choice implies a limitation. Now, a lot of times we don't want to actually have to come down to making a choice because we think, oh no, it'll close some doors to some other things. That's right. Last year when I finally had to make that big decision to marry Ralph, that meant that there were some limitations to other guys. And yet, the security of having a set direction is there. That's the way it is. A choice that we make has limitations, but it sets the direction in which we shall go. And tonight, we're going to be thinking, what will be our life choice? Will it be the gods of this world, or will it be the God of the universe, the Creator, that we'll choose to follow? But a choice does have limitations. And then finally, just to get you thinking, I don't think this is necessarily anything new, but to decide not to choose is really to make a choice. Even apathy in itself is a choice. And there are a lot of people today, a lot of women today, that have said, well, I'll just not decide anything. I really won't give my life necessarily to anything. And really, in terms of even saying that, they've made a choice. So choices are important. They involve our whole life, and we must purpose to choose right. I know a few minutes ago you probably felt like you were juggling, you know, maybe a notebook yourself, but if you'll take out the green sheet, I want you to look at this for a few minutes. This I drew up, it may not be as clear to you as what it is to me, but I drew this up one time as a result of hearing some other people talk about the different influences on our life. And if you can, we had this reduced this week, so you kind of, if you're like me, you may need to get your glasses out. But if you can pinpoint right in here where me is, I want you to look at all the different influences or factors that are playing upon us today in our world that will either make or break how we rightly respond with the life and with the life choice that God has given us. One is education. Can you tell me something that education is telling you today? What are some things that you're hearing in your education that's having an influence on how you see the world and how you may start living out your life?
I'm okay, you're okay.
Good. I'm okay, you're okay. Whatever you want to do, you know, you're okay, I'm okay, you know, no certain rights, that's it. That's a good one. Can you think of anything else? What if
God is in your mind and he is what you
mean? Okay, good. We're all individuals, and so we have the right for personal interpretation. God's in your mind and you make him what you want him to be. Now see, girls, the scary thing about this is that the influences that Satan is allowing to play upon us sometimes are very, very subtle. I think one thing that I heard over and over when I was in school was the fact that man really is getting better and better, and he has the possibilities of really becoming self-developed and self-skilled. And there are some truths in that, but really, apart from a right relationship with God, we'll never be made whole and perfect. What about mass media? This is a fun one. What are some of the things that you're hearing that are influencing you in this area about choice and about our own abilities as people? Can you think of commercials or ads? What are some of the things that you're hearing?
You should be beautiful.
Okay, people should be beautiful. If you'll go out and buy this perfume, you know, sex appeal. Skinny.
All those things will bring you happiness. This will make you a fulfilled person if you can do this.
Good. Fulfillment comes through things. It's always amazing, you know, how toothpaste can make you sexy. What about some of the commercials? McDonald's. And again, I don't mean to necessarily pinpoint any of these things, but these are just subtle approaches. You know, you deserve a break today. Kind of the concept of, you know, it's okay for me to live my own life and live it easy. Have it your way. And again, you know, not to pinpoint the corporation or the business, but just to see what are some of the influences that I believe in a special way the world is being able to have in our own lives. And as a result of that, it will influence our belief system. It will influence our choice system. What about your subcultural values? Do you know what I mean by this? White, Anglo-Saxon, Southerner. How many have grown up in the South? Any of you people from the North? Most of us, oh, here's one.
I'm all over.
Oh, okay, you're a rover. But you're going to look at life and you're going to see life differently to a certain extent according to the subcultural value that you're in. If you grew up needing to work most of the summers, you're going to view life and have a different probably life view and a life decision-making process different than someone that was able, you know, to travel to Europe all summer. And not that either one of these are bad, but I just want you to begin to see the different choices that we have to make and how the influences that are all around us are playing upon us and how important it is right now to begin choosing to let our Creator and His Word begin to influence how we make our choices. Our personality types, some of us may be overall basically optimistic. We get up every morning, the world's beautiful, you know, and we run out of the room screaming, grateful for the day. Other of us may wake up and, you know, fairly pessimistic and, oh no, it's another day. You know, the exciting thing is that we can overcome that through the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's another influence on us. Another thing is the youth culture and fads. I think, you know, one of the things is feels good, do it. You know, subtle things that are getting into our minds and having influence upon the way that we'll make choices. Your own personal values and priorities, this will play. And of course, this is influenced by other things, but, you know, what are your priorities? You know, are you basically the type that if it's hard, I'm going to put it off to the last minute? Or are you the type that if it's hard, I'm going to get it over with first and move over to the easy things? But overall, I wanted you to begin to see there is a multitude of facets, factors, and influences in our world today that are playing upon us. And gals, if we don't choose to be women that have come to a point of saying, I'm going to listen to my world, I'm going to be a woman that lives in my world, but more than anything else, I'm going to be a woman that chooses not to live by the philosophies of this world, but I'm going to choose to be a woman that chooses to know the Creator of the universe and my Creator, spend time in His Word, getting to know Him, and as a result of that, being able to have a clear view of the life that He created me to live and the relationship in which He created me to live. That's the choice that we've got to make. And that's exciting to me, that everything's revealed to us through the Word, and He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to know Him. God is a God of choice. Someone know Exodus 23 through 5? Let's look at that. God demands our undivided attention. God demands that we be women that have made a choice. Exodus 23 through 5. Someone have that? Can they read it? This is a passage you're familiar with. You may not have known the reference. Someone have it. Can they read it?
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor to serve them, for the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation, and unto them that hate me.
Okay. Just the concept here that God is a jealous God. He demands our undivided attention and our loyalty. And He demands that we choose, and that we choose Him. Joshua understood this also in Joshua 24:15. We're going to move along tonight. We may not look up all these verses, but you can jot them down. And you remember the passage well, where a lot of His followers, a lot of His family, His clan was beginning to follow after other gods. And He said, choose you today whom you shall serve. You can go on and serve the gods of this land and follow after them. But as for me and my house, we will choose to serve the Lord. And I think Jesus said it well in Matthew 7:24 when He said, you cannot serve two masters. You'll be divided. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so the concept is that God demands a choice. And again, to choose or to say, I'm not going to necessarily make a choice, is to make a choice. And I think our prayer for all of you, and as well as for me and the leaders we come tonight and for the time that we'll have together tomorrow, crying out that even as a result of this very weekend, we would be a group of women that would begin to determine to choose to live our lives and to live it rightly and to live it according to the way that God designed us to be lived. I can remember one of the greatest choices that I had to make was my junior year in college. I really didn't begin to grow until about my junior year in college, and it seemed that God used some courses in my life to really drive me to make a life decision. I was at Baylor University, and I was double majoring in religion and psychology. I had a course that semester in the area of humanistic psychology, and I also had a course that semester in the religion department studying the life of Christ. And it seemed like each day I was studying anywhere from an hour to 2 hours a day in my religion class, and I was spending literally hours walking through the gospel and looking at the life of Christ, and I saw how personal the relationships that he had with the people around him, and how there was power in his life, and how miracles were performed, and how people began to become alive like they never had become before. And then at the same time, I was over studying my psychology, and I was hearing all these philosophies that I was a product of my environment, that there was really no hope for me. I was a conditioned being, and ultimately I'd live out my life like that. And somehow, I couldn't get the two together. And it was an awful semester. I was frustrated. I was pulled apart. I couldn't integrate the two theories. And I saw some truth in both, and I didn't know really what to believe. But I knew that there was something that began to happen in my life as I took a look at the person of Jesus Christ. And I can remember one night, I kind of looked around and my roommates were gone, so I slipped over and shut the door and came back, kneeled down beside my bed, and I said, God, I really don't know full truth, but tonight, by faith, I'm going to choose to follow you. And I'm going to choose to get to know Jesus Christ in a personal way, just like people in his day knew him. And by faith, I'm going to choose to start spending time in your word, getting to know you and getting to know your son, Jesus Christ, in a personal way. It was probably one of the most significant decisions I'd ever made. And from that day, I can really share with you that there's been a power and excitement in my life. I've still walked through the trials and struggles, but there's been that type of joy and excitement. And we'll all encounter choices like that to make. But in the midst of a world where many influences and many factors are around us, how will you choose? What will you do about God? And that's the real heart of the message tonight. All of this has been pretty much background. What does it mean to choose God? It means to make a choice to enter into fellowship with Him. It means to choose to enter into a daily relationship with Him and get to know Him. And I'd like to share with you, I think this sheet is it blue? That talks about our goal is to please God. And it comes as we choose to seek God, as we choose to know God, as we choose to love God, and eventually, as a result of that, we please God. Gals, that'll be the greatest choice that you can ever make in your life. And I'm not talking just about a mental assent, oh yes, I'll choose God, but I mean purposing, making it a decision that will change the course of your life, that type of choosing. Let's look at Jeremiah 29:13. What does it mean to seek God? And how do we seek Him? Jeremiah 29:13. Someone have it memorized? I'll let some of you share from your heart if you can. If you have it, read it out. We'll move along rather quickly now. Does anyone have another translation? We'll get several translations from this. I like that. What translation is that?
It's living.
And how are we to seek Him? From that one? Okay. Earnest. Good. I like that. With all your heart. So one way that we begin to seek God is that we seek Him with all of our heart. The key to finding God is seeking Him. And the way that we begin to seek Him is seeking Him, number one, with all of our hearts. Have you ever had an opportunity in which you lost? How many of you have a car? Maybe a room key would be more applicable. But have you ever had the experience of losing your keys and you were late to something? Did you seek for your keys? I mean, you sought and sought and sought. Well, if you can make that parallel, that is wholehearted seeking. That you don't just say, oh, well, I guess I've lost my keys. I guess that's it. I'll move on. You seek and you go back and you seek and you seek. And that's the type of seeking, wholehearted. I can remember when I was growing up, we had birthday parties were real big at in my family. And we would have these type of birthday hunts where you'd get a birthday card and you'd open it up and it would say, you know, happy birthday. And it would say, your gift is in the bathroom under the cabinet. So we'd run in there, the whole family would run, and we'd open up the cabinet and there'd be a little card and you'd open it up and it said, now go look in your bedroom under your bed. And so the whole family would, it was a big family affair, but so we'd run the bedroom, we'd look in, and there would be another card, we'd open it up. And it was a big search. But you can better believe that the person that had the birthday was seeking wholeheartedly. And that's what God asks us to do, to seek. We must seek Him with our whole heart. Someone remember Matthew 5:8, the Sermon on the Mount? What's the key to having a whole heart? Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the blank in heart, the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Not that they might see or that they might see Him on Sundays, but they'll see Him. So we're to seek Him. One way of seeking is to seek with a whole heart. And part of wholeheartedness is a purity. Gals, how do you approach God during your time in the Word? You just kind of, oh, ho-hum, it's another morning. Let's see, where should I read, or what will I do, or gosh, God, I wish You'd hurry up. I mean, you know, it's late. Do you go before Him excited and really read in terms of finding Him and finding out about Him? That's what the sense of wholeheartedness is about. We need to seek God with a whole heart. Second aspect of seeking God is that we seek Him. Seek Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, but those that come unto Him must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Not what He can do necessarily or what you can get. What does your prayer list look like? What does your prayer sound like before you go to the Word? It's, oh God, man, I really need some help today. And, oh, please give me this or please give me that. Gals, are you content and purposing just to get to know Him? One aspect of finding God and knowing Him and being able to love Him and please Him is seeking Him. I can remember Nella shared I spent a year out in Seattle, Washington. It was a big decision to leave the security of the school that I'd gone to and the school that I'd... Pam Jarbo may be able... She was out there several years. And it was a hard decision. And I remember after the director called me and asked me to... consider coming out, I ask everyone around, well, now I'm going to Seattle. Now, what do you think I should do? And I would ask God, now, God, what do you think I should do out there? I mean, what do you think I should really find when I'm out there? Would going be a good thing for me? And I can remember when I finally began to settle down and have a receptive spirit and really say, God, what about You? What do You want? And I just want You more than anything in my whole life than going someplace or gaining some training, or being around another woman. I desire You and Your ways. That's when the answer came. So in our seeking, seek Him. Seek to find out about Him. Third aspect of being able to seek God, a key to seeking God and being able to find Him, is to seek Him with a spirit of humility. Seek Him with a broken spirit or a spirit of humility. Let's look at James 4, 6 through 8. As soon as someone get that, read it.
For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God.
Wait, do I have that?
Right.
Oh, I thought, oh no, I had the wrong.
No, I'm wrong. Do you want me to go ahead?
Yeah, please.
Okay, thanks.
Had me scared there, Pam.
But he gives a greater grace, therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and your hearts, you double-minded.
Okay, it says God gives grace. He resists the proud, but he gives grace. He reveals himself to the humble. And it goes on and say, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Several years ago, I had the opportunity of begin a new venture in my own life. Was asked the year that I was asked to go out to Seattle, was asked to raise my own a portion of my own salary, which was a new experience for me. And I began to go to God. I think I can look back now in a sense of pride. Now, God, you've got to come through for me. I mean, I'm going out there to work, and my parents, I know they're concerned about my going and not having a steady income. And you've just got to come through for them. And that's pretty much the way that I approached God. And I began to demand some things of God that I'm not sure that he wanted me to demand of him. And after waiting month after month after month, and eventually, you know, my job had ended and I ended up back home and waiting month after month. I was home all summer. I was supposed to be out there the 1st of June. About October, I began to realize, now God, I'm going to humble myself before you. And if I've taken the wrong choice, if I've made the wrong decision about this job, if you really want to glorify yourself through me being at home and being in a place where I didn't think that I was really called to be, I'll be here. But I want your direction and your guidance. And gals, within 3 days, the WMU director at our church had rounded up about $500 a month pledge in 3 days. God used that experience to humble me and bring me to a point of seeking him with a humble spirit. Let's look real fast. A favorite verse of mine is in Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Isaiah 66, 1 through 2. Someone read that out as you get it. I know we're going fairly fast, but still have some more things to cover. Someone have it? Can they read it?
Thus says the Lord.
One and two.
Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word.
Okay, what were some of those things that he said that is exemplifies the person that he looks to?
Humble.
Humble. Contrite, trembles at my words. Gals, how do you approach God's word? How do you approach God? Do you approach him not really expecting him to speak to you? Or do you really approach him with an expectant heart, really believing that he's going to say something to you because he's promised? How do you approach him in terms of an obedient heart? Do you approach him already expectant to be obedient? That's the person that God reveals himself to. That's how you'll find him. If you approach him in an humble spirit, ready to obey and expectant to hear something. Fourth thing, and the aspect of seeking God, we need to seek him with a heart of praise. You might just jot this down. Psalms, the whole chapter, Psalms 147, is a praise chapter that David wrote. Have you ever spent time just sitting down and praising God? God, thank you that you're good. Thank you that you're loving. Thank you that you're kind. There's a mystery in praise that I fully don't understand, but it's a way in which God reveals himself. One challenge that I undertook one semester was to focus on praising God, and someone had challenged me to buy a little journal like this. You can buy these. Some places are called open books or nothing books, but one problem that I was having in my own personal life, I felt kind of like a kangaroo. I was moving, I'd moved from Waco several times, and I moved out to Seattle, and then I was approaching another move to Oklahoma, and I share with this friend, I just don't feel like I have any security anyplace. I mean, about the time I begin to build some roots, I feel like I'm uprooted. And this friend challenged me to begin praising God for the things that I was learning during this time and what I was learning of His character. And so I just started this little journal, and I just wrote, "My place in You, Father." And each night, and I wasn't faithful every night, but just as many nights as I could, and I didn't write very much, but I would sit down and I would write, as I look back over my day, what I'd learned about God as a result of that day. And this is just a praise journal. If you've never done anything like this, I'd encourage you to do it. It's amazing the ways that you'll find God and what you'll learn about God as you begin to look back over your day and see the ways that He revealed Himself. The ways that He revealed Himself. A lot of things I would have never seen if I hadn't stopped at night and praised God for what I'd learned about the ways that He was building a security in my life in Him. We need to seek Him with praise. Fifthly, we need to seek Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Need to seek Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:18 talks about the power of the Holy Spirit that's given to us to reveal us. To reveal to us truth. And you can probably think of other verses. We need to move on. But gals, you could spend 3 hours a day in the Word wanting to get to know God and praying to get to know God. But if you didn't go in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that will reveal truth to us. So when you're seeking, spend some time asking the Holy Spirit to reveal truth. If you're like me, some mornings you may get up and you think, "Oh man, I only have 10 minutes. I got up late this morning. I don't have as much time to get all the spiritual truth or words of wisdom for my day." And I miss half of the truths that God would want to give me because I don't rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to teach me more about God that day. The Holy Spirit can reveal more to you in 2 minutes with your reliance upon Him than what you could find out in your Word by spending 2 or 3 hours. So when you're seeking to know God, depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the last thing, just in this first level of choosing to seek God, we need to learn to seek Him, and I've just put this down, at the best time and in the best places. Now, if you've ever done a lot of you have probably been exposed to the concept of the quiet time or the devotional life. If you've ever spent time in a concordance or trying to find out where it said exactly how to have a quiet time or when to have a quiet time in the Bible, you're not going to find that. The concept of a quiet time is a tool to get to know God better. But there are several verses that talk about some of the times that people got to know God. You might jot down Psalms 90, verse 14. It says, "Oh, satisfy us in the morning with Thy loving kindness." Mark 1:35, you may be familiar with that, but it said Christ gives the example of Christ raising up a great while before dawn. He went out and sought time with the Father. There is a lot of examples in the Bible of people spending time with God, getting to know Him early in the morning. And I think it's a fairly logical principle. If you're like me, putting off a special time of sitting down and getting to know God, you keep putting it off later and later into the day. Pretty soon it's going to be that decision of, oh, do I spend time with God or do I just go to bed? And I've found the joy of meeting God in the morning and saying, "God, tell me something about You today. Tell me something that I need to know in order to get through my day today as I get to know about You." I don't know where you are in your own time alone with God. I don't even know if you've come to a point of purposing to set aside special time to get more time in the Word and get to know God better. But I'd encourage you to do that. And I would encourage you to do it in the morning. But more than anything else, I'd encourage you to make it your own time. Matthew 6:33 simply says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so the time necessarily is not so important, but the fact that it's priority on your heart to get to know God. Three other, I think, important things to think about that are written in the Word concerning the best times to seek God is, when in trouble, turn to God. Psalms 57 is a good chapter on that. Psalms 63, I believe, a good chapter that talks about seeking God, turning to God. The best time is when you're thirsty. when you really long to just get more time with him, find out more about him, seek him. And then it's interesting in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, it says, seek him in your youth. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that, because there's no greater time than now to begin seeking God and setting aside time now to get to know him. As far as the best places, you'll come up with places. I remember when I first started choosing to set aside a certain amount of time each day within my day in which I'd get to know God, I was living in a dorm with 500 other girls. It was about my junior year in college, and it was hard to find a place to get alone with God. I'd try to, get in my closet, and believe it or not, my roommate would come in. She'd open the closet, or I'd go down to the study hall, and it seemed that was the time that the girls wanted to come in and watch the TV. I just had an awful time finding a special place to get alone with God. But I'd encourage you to pray for one. I finally found some old telephone booths down the hall that they'd ripped out telephones from, and I'd go down there to the telephone booth and get some time alone with God. But the key is a place where you can get away and be with God. Matthew 6:6 tells about the importance of spending time alone with God in secret. In secret. Just where you and God can talk. You can get to know about him. You can talk to him. You can get to know him. 1 Corinthians 7:17. These are, again, I'm throwing out a lot of verses, but as you have time, I really encourage you to go back and get some time in the Word. But 1 Corinthians 7:17 mainly says, seek God and get to know him as God leads you. As God leads you. So these are some of the aspects of that beginning in our own choosing with God. Choosing to seek God and getting to know him. What was that promise in Jeremiah 29:13? If we seek him, we will find him. So really the major choice that we have is, will we begin to choose to seek him? Because the promise is, if we seek him with all of our heart, we will find him. And gals, I would venture to say, and most of the people that have been in the seeking business for any time at all, if you know God, you're going to love him. You can't help but love him. When you really come to find out that he is a God of love, that he is a God of forgiveness, that he is a God of faithfulness, that he's a provider, that he's a protector, that he's a lover, that he's a sustainer. When you really get to know God, you'll love him. And as a result of loving him, you will want to please him. It doesn't mean that you'll never encounter struggles. It doesn't mean that you'll never get mad again, or you'll never deal with bitterness, or you'll never question God. Those will still be around. But it means that as a result of knowing him, you will love him. And the type of love that you have will literally consume you to want to please him. And the ways that we please God, if you'll look on your chart, is trusting him, obeying him, and praising him. So I hope that tonight this will begin to set a direction for you. Have you come to the point of making a choice to begin to seek God? As a result of seeking him, you will find him. And as a result of finding him, there'll be a love in your life for him. And as a result of that, you will please him. And you know what? As a result of pleasing God, you will be fulfilling your life purpose, why you were created. And I don't want to get too much into that tonight, because that's what you'll be looking at tomorrow. What is your goal? What is your life goal? And how do we fulfill that? I'd like to encourage you right now to take your pink sheet. I think it's pink. Is that the daily schedule sheet? And this right now is not to be necessarily a legalistic time. But if you're like me, one reason that a lot of times I don't sit down and get to know God better through time in his word is that I don't plan for it. I haven't made a choice that at a certain time each day I'm going to set aside so much time in which I'm going to avail myself wholeheartedly to get to know God in some better way. I don't choose to do it. So this is a tool that hopefully will help you be a better planner and a better manager of your time. I want you to take a few minutes right now and jot down your daily or your weekly schedule. For those of you that are in classes, jot down your class schedule. For those of you that are working, jot down your work schedule. And then fill in around that. If you have to work, go to work at 8 o'clock, what time do you have to leave to make it there? Fill that in. What time do you have to have breakfast? In other words, fill out your weekly schedule. And then see within your weekly schedule where you can find some time to set alone, to get alone with God and spend some time with Him. And in our workshop tonight, you may be having some questions. Well, what do I do when I get alone with God? I mean, does it mean I just sit in a corner and am alone? We're going to be showing you some practical ways, some practical things that you can do as you get alone with God to get to know Him better. Some of you are probably well and experienced in getting time alone with God and know what to do. But work on your schedule a few minutes. And an exciting thing about God is that He doesn't demand a lot of time. He doesn't demand more time than what you have, but He demands the time that you can have. And so just set aside 15 minutes a day. If you want to set aside more, do so, but some time that'll be in your schedule where you'll have special time with God to get to know Him through His Word. Do that for just a few minutes. We're almost finished. Some of you may need to go on and finish, but you may be asking yourself, well, you know, that's great. I mean, it sounds like a good choice to make, but what's in it for me? What's the end result? I can't tell you the end result, or maybe I should say results, other than you having a sense of completeness and a sense of understanding of who you are and why you were created. When you make a choice to get to know God, when you get to know the Creator, when you get to know someone that loves you, and when you get to comprehend what He wants to do in your life and through your life, you come to an understanding of what life is all about. And that's what it's all about. And that's the joy of having a relationship with God, the Creator, and fulfilling the purpose for which you were created. God had a purpose in creating you. And the purpose is that you would have fellowship with Him and get to know Him. There's a story that I heard when I was growing up. And when I first heard it, for several years, I only heard some certain things in this story. And as I got older, I began to understand that there was much more meaning to that story. But the story is told back in the early 1900s, during the time when there was village life and small communities. There was a little boy that was in school one day, and a newspaper was passed out in the school village that day about a big circus that was coming to town. And of course, the little boy's eyes got so big, he'd always heard about a circus. He'd never been to a circus. But he ran home as fast as he could that day when school was out and told his dad, "A circus is coming to town. And oh, Dad, I'd love to go." Well, I think his dad must have been a child psychologist, because he said, "Son, if you'll work all week, if you'll get all your chores done, come Saturday, I'll let you go to the circus." Well, you can imagine what that little guy did all week. He did everything he could wholeheartedly. Talk about wholeheartedness. He was. Saturday finally came, and he was up bright and early, dressed, standing at the door waiting for his dad to give him the permission to go. And his dad finally did. Before he left, his dad reached in his pocket and pulled out a quarter. Back in those days, a quarter was a lot. As soon as he could, the little boy was on his way down the road, running as fast as he could. And of course, when I was young, I would get into this, and I was really excited for the little boy. The story went on that the little boy reached the edge of the town, the village, and he heard music, and he began to ask the people what was coming, what was the commotion all about. And he heard that a parade was coming. Well, this was another thing that he had never seen. So he began to fall in line with the crowds along the side of the street, and he began to see the parade. He saw the horses, and he saw the floats, and he saw all the bands, and he saw the music and the colors, and he was taken back. This was great. This was something like he had never seen, but he had always heard. And he thought, this is terrific. And then his eyes found something that he had never seen, he had always heard about, but it was a clown. And he couldn't believe it. Here was this clown, big floppy suit, rubber ears, a nose, a crazy hat. And the clown that he had always heard about but never seen, he was taken back. And the clown, as he was passing right by him, the little boy remembered the quarter in his pocket. And he rushed up to the clown, he pulled out the quarter in his pocket, handed it to the clown, and of course the clown was delighted and walked on, waved at him. And the little boy turned around and began going home. As I read, my dad was the one that would tell me about the story, I thought that was terrific. But as I got older, I began to realize, you know, the little boy went to the town to see the circus. And he went, and he only saw the parade, and he thought that he had seen and experienced the circus. And as I began to look at that from a deeper perspective, a life perspective, I thought, you know, that's a way that I could live my life. And that's the way that a lot of us could end up living our own lives. We could think that we're really experiencing life as God created it. We could think that we're seeing all of life and experience the fullest, but really, we're only tapping a fraction of it. For I began to realize that the little boy went to see the entire circus, but he only ended up seeing the preliminaries. And that's a real challenge to my own life, and I hope for yours, that we wouldn't be the beginning of a new, maybe I could say generation of women, that would only begin to experience the fringe of what life is all about. That we wouldn't think that we're experiencing all of life as God created us to live it and experience it, but in reality, only touching the preliminaries. So the choice tonight, I want to bring you in direct confrontation, is what are you doing concerning God? What are you doing concerning the Creator of you and of the universe? And as we move into the time on your program, what will you say yes to? Perhaps there's one thing that you've heard tonight that the Holy Spirit has just quickened your heart. If you can take your programs out now, you'll have a few minutes to write down one or two things that you would say yes, Lord, to. Maybe some of you here, or maybe some that have never really come to understand what it is to have a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. through His Son and to be our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you this weekend to take advantage of the people around you. Take advantage of your workshop leaders. Take advantage of Nella. If you have questions, get time with some of these people. Take advantage of this time. But for you, you may have a question, and for the first time in your life, you would be saying, "Yes, Lord, I decide to give you my life." For some of you that know God in a personal way, you may be called to make a decision of, "Yes, God, I will determine to seek you in such a way that I will find you." For some of you, it may mean that God has pricked your heart tonight to seek Him more wholeheartedly. For some of you, it may mean that God has said, "Seek me with humble spirit, with a broken spirit." For some of you, it may have meant seeking Him at a prime time where you're awake and you can get to know God. But the choice is yours. There's a decision to make. And I would encourage you to think through some of the things that you heard, some of the things that your heart jumped at as I was sharing. What were some of the things that God was speaking to you about? Not just what I shared, but what spoke to you? And we're going to take a few minutes for you to write down one thing that you'll begin to say, "Yes, Lord," to, and purpose to do it in the coming days. So take a few minutes as we close tonight. Some of you may need some more time, and I would encourage you to spend as much time with God as you need in coming to hear Him and what He's telling you to do. But at this point, let's end this time officially in a word of prayer, and then Nella may have some announcements. God, I thank You that You're a revealer, God, that You haven't just created us and left us here on earth to wander alone. And God, we live in the world, and there are a lot of views, a lot of philosophies, a lot of factors that are playing upon our lives to lead us astray from You. But God, we want to choose tonight to follow you and to know you and to fulfill the purpose for which we are created. And we want to thank you that you're a God that's told us that if we seek you and search for you, you'll let us find us. And God, I just thank you that you're that type of God. Pray for the remaining of our time here. I pray for tonight that in our workshops that we would get to know you in a better way, in a more specific way. And then for a time of rest and fun tonight. And then for tomorrow, Lord, as we look at what our goals are and even ahead, Lord, to the special lives that we may have in terms of love relationships. Lord, we just tell you that we're yours and we need you and we need your guidance and your direction. And we thank you for your Son and for the Holy Spirit that can lead us and guide us into all truth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.